band.
I'd like to call the City of Franklin Common Council meeting of August 21st, 2018 to order. Madam Clerk, could you call the roll?
Mayor Olson is excused. Alderman Dandan.
Here, and I will be voting as acting mayor.
Alderman Mayor.
Present.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We start out with citizen comment period. Are there any citizens out there that would like to voice their opinion, their thoughts?
Evening. Brett Pulaski. I'm going to be talking on behalf of Franklin Professional Firefighters.
Hey, Brett, I need your address for the record, please.
Let's go 8901 West Drexel. City Council members. I'm here to discuss a proposed resolution for the purpose of enhancing public safety that is on tonight's agenda. One of the main reasons, one of the main reasons for this resolution is to hire 9 additional paramedics cross-trained as firefighters. This is an important issue for both residents and business owners in the City of Franklin. The citizens of Franklin need to understand how frequently fire department personnel are called to respond to multiple emergencies in the city throughout the day. While our personnel are always prepared to respond quickly, increasing call volume has noticeably interfered with our ability to perform traditional day-to-day operations, including routine equipment and station maintenance. More importantly, we are left with less time to conduct the hands-on training that we need to, hands-on training that we need in order to maintain proficiency with the skills required to do our job. The inadequate level of fire department staffing was made blatantly obvious on May 24, 2018. At 0925 hours, a full still fire alarm was toned out for a confirmed apartment fire with an individual trapped inside. At the time the call was dispatched, 4 personnel assigned to the First Due Engine Company were training on hose deployment drills. While the engine's driver and officer quickly worked to replace as much of the hose as they could, the other 2 firefighters immediately responded to the scene in an ALS ambulance. As the first arriving unit, the 2 firefighters from the ALS ambulance began searching for the victim without having the full complement of equipment needed for an interior fire attack. The 2 firefighters soon found themselves trapped in a ground floor apartment with near zero visibility and dangerously high heat. Fortunately, one of the firefighters located a window, and both men were able to exit through it before the interior of the apartment was fully engulfed in flames. While thankfully no firefighter lost their life that day, several were injured as a result of this incident. One of the firefighters inside the apartment received second-degree burns on his body. Second firefighter needed to have glass from the window surgically removed from his leg. A third firefighter on the outside of the building received burns to his hands while helping one of the trapped firefighters extricate from the window. A fourth firefighter injured his wrist while removing the victim in the apartment from the building. In total, one incident wiped out 40% of our department's daily staffing. I urge the council to recognize the need for more personnel in order to adequately staff our fire department. You have all read the annual fire department reports and have heard Chief Remington discuss the increasing demand for our services. The need for additional fire department staffing is long overdue and should have been addressed many years ago. NFPA 1710 states that you should have 28 personnel on scene within 8 minutes of a full still fire alarm at a garden-style apartment that we are called to on May 24th. Since 2 of our closest mutual aid resources were unavailable to respond that day, it took 29 minutes to accomplish that objective. Like many of our surrounding communities, Franklin must strive to become more self-reliant as assistance from our nearest neighboring fire departments is not always guaranteed. In closing, members of the department are committed to helping inform your constituents of our need for increased staffing so that our proper funding measure can be secured through referendum. Franklin Professional Firefighters ask for your support and advocacy to enhance public safety. through the addition of 9 firefighter paramedics to serve and protect our Franklin community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ms. Mills? Remember? Name, address, and 3 minutes.
Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way, Franklin, Wisconsin. And I'd like to speak not only to the fire department, but also the police, because I've opposed the way the common council and the mayor have gone about this. I'm not opposed to...
Ms. Mills? Ms. Mills, you're talking to us.
Pardon?
You're speaking to us.
Well, I'm also speaking to the fire department and the way...
They can hear you, Ms. Mills.
You can't hear me?
They can. Just keep...
Oh, okay. When we were... many citizens came and they were opposed to the rock, they were opposed to development in the city, and Mayor Olson said at one of those meetings at the library, when people came up, I was one of them, but there were other people that said that the way development was going on in this city, it would require more fire, more police, more EMTs. And he sat there, and I remember he poked his finger right at me, and he said that taxes would not go up, and we would not need any more fire, police, or EMTs because of the way the development was going in the city. And here we stand today needing more fire, police, EMTs. It is not their fault. They need a full complement, but that you people have willy-nilly developed the city without thinking of the consequences it puts on the taxpayers of Franklin. You put in in the survey you sent out to citizens, you blamed it on the elderly, but who voted to put in all the senior housing in Franklin? Olson and the Common Council voted to rezone things and to build all those buildings, never thinking who's going to service those buildings. The rock is sitting there, who's going to service that? And now you want to ask the taxpayers for a tax raise because you've got an overburdened fire and police department. And where did you think this was going to go? And you there's no thought to ramifications to building that you do and development that you do and what it's going to do. And maybe you should start charging these developments like The Rock and some of these other places. Maybe they have to kick in some money to start funding some of this stuff. Maybe we can't have such a big 4th of July extravaganza if we can't afford to have a fire... police department, etc. Why are we spending money on a 4th of July thing and some of this other stuff? Maybe all that money, that tax money that went into the rock should have been directed to a fire department. You should not have firemen
okay,
being
Ms.
burned
Mills,
in costs and
wrap
caught
up
in
your
the
thought,
building.
Please. Wrap up your thought.
Are you going to say, I also want to know, are you going to send out another survey to the citizens of Franklin, or is that a done deal? Are you just going to referendum on this?
No, there's not another survey going out at this point. Nothing's been approved.
So this referendum, how are you going to fund?
You've got to understand, it's up for discussion tonight. So you stay and wait till that item comes up. You'll find out how that will proceed, how and if it will proceed. So
the citizens are being cut out of this entirely.
Oh,
you're just
going to
hit us with...
No, not at
they
all.
You get a vote.
You get the vote.
Right.
If it goes to referendum, each citizen will get one vote.
Right.
And the total, if it's in favor... it wins.
And they vote against it, and what happens with these guys?
Well, There are other decisions than
because
that
of, because of your poor leadership and how you develop this city. Well, are they left hanging? Because there are a lot of people that are really ticked at the way you develop this city and the ramifications of the way you develop the city, of choices you made.
Okay, Ms. Mills.
When the people of Franklin came to you and said, "Don't do this, please don't do this," and they gave you all kinds of data, facts on the ramifications of what would happen, you ignored it all, went ahead, and now they're being screwed, we're being screwed, and you're sitting.
Okay, you're presumptuous. We will not. You're drawing conclusions that are inaccurate.
So my taxes aren't going to go up, and they're going to get more firemen.
You know, you've always had quality service. You will maintain quality service.
Well, not if these poor guys are getting burned.
You're making an assumption, but I've given you now over 5 minutes.
Right.
So your thought, you're finished. Thank you, Ms. Mills. Okay, we know where your thought is. Let's wait to hear what the discussion comes up on. Anyone else? Seeing none, we will close the citizen comment period. Do I have a page 5 approval of minutes from August
7th,
2018?
So moved.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 5 in favor, none against. Oh. Mayoral announcements. I guess I forgot B2. Franklin is to host the Intergovernmental Corporation Council meeting on September 10th, 2018 at the Indian Community Center. That's the ICC meeting. That's the meeting of all the mayors, village presidents throughout Milwaukee County. And Franklin will be hosting this at the Indian Community Center. It is an honor to conduct this meeting, as well as it's also an honor to kind of show off one of our prized possessions that's located in the city of Franklin. So also all the aldermen that have the availability to attend this meeting, it would be strongly encouraged to also try to arrange this in your schedule. Thank you. No hearings, no other organizational business, no letters and petitions. Report. We'll go right on to G1, page 11.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 5 in favor, none against. Item G2 on page 13 is the creation of position of a police recruit. Chief.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Excuse me. So the hiring of police officers have become more and more difficult over the last several years. It's very hard to find qualified people to apply. It's not only a phenomenon here in Franklin, it's across the country, actually. And so we're looking for different ways to bring qualified people to our department, to our city. And one way I'd like to suggest is the creation of a sworn recruit police officer position. In the action sheet I wrote up, I put two options. The first option for the creation of a civilian position, I put, and hopefully we won't need to go that way. I kept it on there as a more or less as a fail-safe option if the preferable option does not take place, which is creating a sworn position for recruit, and that would be basically the same job description as a police officer, adding a few categories that would be applicable to the fact that this person will be in the police academy for 18 and a half weeks. And the main difference is we would bring that person in at a reduced salary, below the starting rate of a full police officer. theory being that, number one, if the person's in the academy for 18 and a half weeks, they shouldn't get paid the same as a fully sworn officer because they're not on the road. And it offers the ability to go to a civilian and swear them in and pay a salary to that person while they're attending school. And we would also pay their tuition, which is actually reimbursable by the state of Wisconsin. So, again, that was the preferable option. Since I wrote this action sheet, I had several discussions with our department's president of the union, and they are agreeable to the concept. There's some details to be worked out. That's why I'm just asking for more or less an approval for the idea and the proposal and to go ahead. And if you're interested in pursuing it, then I'll come back with some details regarding job descriptions. We're looking at creating some type of a contract that requests reimbursement if that recruits for some reason would not finish the school, would take a job in another department, or leave our employment shortly after graduation. So some of those details have to be worked out. But I believe, from what I gather from the union president and their discussions with their state union, it looks like a very doable proposal. So I'd be asking more or less for your okay to proceed with those details and bring it back to you.
Okay, thanks, Chief. Are there any Alderwoman Wilhelm?
You know, one of the questions I did have was, what would be our guarantee if we paid and sent them through that they would stay for, say, can you have an agreement that they stay at least a year or 2 years?
Well, again, that
or
that
they
would
have to pay it back.
Right, that would be the idea of having an employment contract, and we'll have to work out those details with the union and our attorney. And there's some contracts out there already, so we'll probably look at some other contracts out there. And it's actually been litigated, that type of an agreement, and courts basically said you can do it as long as those criteria are reasonable. So you can't expect full payment after 4 years of service. So we'll look at that court case, and we'll see what they deemed appropriate, and we'll try to come up with a reasonable proposal that, according to how much time they spend with us, how much they'd have to pay back. So I don't have that exact number. The union is going to be giving us a proposal, and we'll work on those details.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a first and a second, but I did see Alderman Nelson. No?
That's fine. For option two, you're making it, correct? Option
yes.
Two?
Alderman Mayer.
Just for discussion's sake, this is part of a much larger issue that's going to come back to us time and time again. We used to get hundreds of applicants for one police opening or for one fire opening. With the bad media that police officers are getting across the country, who wants to go into it now? And the other thing is, part of it is our responsibility. It used to be that people went into public service knowing that there wasn't a big salary out there, but knowing that we had decent benefits. Well, in the last few years, we're attacking the benefits more and more and more, and we're not raising salaries at all. People always say, well, that's the way it is in the public sector. Well, the public sector has the salaries that make up for it. We don't have that in the public sector here. So we're going to have this issue more and more. And we look at all those young, energetic guys back there. They've made a career commitment to the fire service. If things don't start looking up, they might be questioning their commitment, not their commitment, but their choice. And other young guys in their position 5 or 10 years from now, if things don't look up, if we don't take care of the people that are working for us and are public servants, people aren't going to want to be public servants anymore. And that's going to be a very critical issue for us in the future. Yeah, right, like the
at
Alderman.
At one point.
Especially when inaccurate. Alderman Nelson.
Over my 8 years on the Fire and Police Commission, and the chief will attest to this, it kind of has transformed a little bit with this almost a supply and demand where you're at. And it was about 2 weeks ago on WileyNet, and WileyNet is the website that all the police positions are posted on for the state of Wisconsin. There was 81 agencies hiring police officers, deputy sheriffs, part-time and full-time, 81. So those are numbers that you never saw before.
And I'd like to point out we are currently in the hiring process. So we are looking for...
And how many applicants did you have with that hiring process?
Well, it was just to open up a week ago, and we got one application in, but they're not due to September 5th. A lot of times they come in toward the end. But, again, historically, the last couple of years, we've been getting very few applicants compared to previous years. And then one other item, Alderman Taylor, I would like to have both options pre-approved just for the concept, just in case for some chance the union and the administration doesn't come to an agreement, that we would have that available to explore. I don't think it's going to happen, but as long as, you know, it's like no harm, no foul, approve the concept, and then it's there if we need it.
Okay, on that motion then, is
we'll make that adjustment.
We'll make that adjustment in a second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion passes 5 in favor, none against. Item G3.
Motion approved.
Second.
Second.
I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? The motion passes 5 in favor, none against. So, Chief, we took care of 3. Now we got item 4, page 21. Retention.
Second.
This is the PIT move for the police department. I've got a motion and I've got a second. Any discussion?
No.
Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? The motion passes 5 in favor, none against.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, Chief.
G5, page 23, is a Tax Incremental District Number 6, Mixed Use District Feasibility Analysis Report, Area G, approximately between South 112th Street and the City of Western Boundary, and between West Ryan Road and West Oakwood Road. Who's going to lead this discussion? Callie Berg or Paul? Or both? And Frank? Okay. The expert?
Okay. Can you hear me? All right.
Yes,
good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. This is a project that has been a long time in the making. Many of you may recall that over the past year and a half, there has been some various discussions about creating a mixed-use development in the area bounded, as you have stated. In June, Bear Development requested a partnership with the City of Franklin. And at that time, we started moving forward with some more definitive plans, which were brought back before council in May of this year. And at that time, there were some minor changes that were made to the plans as presented. And then even more recently, Bear Development met with a group of various individuals from the city in the areas of engineering, planning, finance, economic development, and legal to talk about what they were proposing and with a request to move forward with the creation of TID 6. So at that time, based on the approval of Common Council to hire Ehlers to do phase one of the formational plans, they have now come back with the feasibility analysis, which we're here to present to you this evening. The short answer is it works, and the long answer is why we have Frank here from Ehlers and Paul from the Finance Department to help talk through some of the numbers with the feasibility analysis and give you an opportunity to ask any questions you may have about the project. So before we move forward, do you have any questions for me about the history and how we come to be here today, what it is that we're looking to accomplish?
No, I don't have any. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
The only questions I'm going to have are on page 24 and page 36, where I can't understand the time frames of what's happening before which public body, because they don't seem to go together. So if you want to give your financial presentation first, and then you can go back to 24 and 36 and determine what schedule we're actually going.
Certainly.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Frank Rome with Ellers and Associates. I believe you have the financial projections in front of you that have been distributed. This is the first step in what would create a tax increment financing district. This is the feasibility stage. So at this point, we're just trying to see if the numbers that have been projected by the developer at this point make sense to move forward into creating a project plan and taking the next steps. These are numbers that have been provided by the developer. We've not done due diligence to verify those, but we've used them to create the projections to see if the TID will support itself. So I can go through the page by page on this if you have this in front of you. The first page would be the estimated project list, which looks like this. And it's simply the major components that would be asked for assistance to create this project. There is off-site utility extensions that would be required to bring to the site, which the developer is asking for assistance with that. There's also public road improvements, interior infrastructure, which is within the boundaries of the development, and a smaller development incentive to assist the developer in the planning, preparation, and execution of the plan. Moving to the next page. And did you get the site plan contained with that? Okay. So there's really three major components, starting with the large industrial user to the west. To the in the center of the page, in the top is light industrial and commercial, and obviously on the right side is the this proposed single family development of 76 single family homes. The page that you're looking at now with the development assumption lays out the creation of value. So it gets on camera. Sorry. Okay. Development assumptions lays out the creation of value that would be then assessed and produce a tax increment to support the project. The large industrial user would be constructed and put in place in a year and a half to 2 years of construction time. Again, these are very preliminary numbers. They've not been finalized by the developer, but just to give a sense of timing and value. The light industrial and commercial projects, which are a series of 9 buildings up in the top, obviously extend over a larger period of time. Those total approximately $13.6 million in value. And the single-family homes on the right side of the project plan extends over a period of 8 years of development, and that's projected to create over $30 million of value, assessable value. This totals $63.9, almost $64 million worth of value creation in the city. If you want to go to the next page, which has the green. I don't know if your copies have that or not, but.
What was the R zoning on that residential, the density? R what? Does anybody remember?
Joel, do you know what the. Is it R4?
Okay.
Three
points. Three units
or 3 units per acre.
About build out with large houses and what the demand for large expensive houses will be in the time frame. So thank you.
I don't have the acreage per lot handy, but it is if I can borrow somebody's reading glasses. I think it's 31 acres divided by 76, so you can kind of work on the math, but I don't think they're exceptionally large.
They're nothing like Viridian. They're not like Viridian or that Aspen.
So on the next sheet, which you have is called the tax increment projection worksheet. Again, this guy. This would be proposed to be a mixed-use district, which has a life of 20 years.